From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. If you are exercising your First Amendment rights, beware of the SLAP. SLAP stands for a Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation. It's an acronym used by free speech advocates to describe meritless lawsuits intended to spend critics into silence. News organizations and nonprofit groups are often hit with SLAPs, but the most common and most vulnerable targets are ordinary citizens. That's why Congress is now considering the first federal anti-SLAP legislation. Nazanin Rafsanjani of WNYC's On the Media has our story.
Penelope Kanan and George Pring were professors at the University of Denver in the early 80s when they held a contest to pick the acronym SLAP. Penelope Kanan.
Actually, SLAPs was the runner-up. I made up that one, but the bottle of wine went to somebody who suggested First Amendment repression torts, but we didn't like that particular acronym.
First Amendment repression torts. Oh.
Yeah, so we decided not to go with that one.
Kanan says a defining characteristic of a SLAP is the plaintiff, the person filing the meritless suit, usually loses the case. So why are SLAPs such a big danger to free speech?
We don't think that they are intended to win on their legal merits. And it turns out way more than 95% get thrown out of court eventually. It's just the eventually and the ordeal of the time that essentially is such a chilling effect on citizens.
Like the Rhode Island homeowner, sued by the owners of a landfill for telling the government that her drinking water might be contaminated. Or the New Yorkers, sued by a developer for testifying against a proposed real estate deal. Or the members of the Beverly Hills League of Women Voters, who campaigned against a high-rise condo building. They were sued by the builders for more than $60 million for libel. Kanan says most people have no idea that a person can be sued for complaining about their drinking water. And for that reason, she has mixed feelings when SLAPs get media attention.
Because somebody in the reading or listening audience has never heard about them before. And then they go, oh my gosh, I never knew this. There's a risk to my speaking out. I better not go to the public hearing.
When we consider threats to the First Amendment, we usually think about the government infringing on our rights. But a SLAP gives anyone rich enough to hire a lawyer the potential power to effectively silence someone else. First Amendment attorney Mark Randazza.
Every single person who is online at all is a potential SLAP suit defendant. Maybe the Dalai Lama isn't, because he never says anything negative about anybody. But unless your kid is the Dalai Lama, one day you may come home and find that there's a process server at your door suing you because of something that your kid posted. Or if you have any opinions that are in any way negative about anybody, the same thing.
Last year, Horizon Group Management sued a woman for tweeting to 20 people, quote, "Who said sleeping in a moldy apartment was bad for you? Horizon Realty thinks it's okay." That lawsuit was dismissed. The judge found the offending tweet, quote, "non-actionable." Randazza says if you must tweet or blog or even update your Facebook status, for God's sake, protect yourself.
If you have renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance, it's usually so cheap to add defamation coverage to your insurance policy. For me, it was, I think, an additional $3 per year. So now I can say bad things about anybody I want.
Of course, you can't just say any bad thing. For a court to determine a lawsuit is a SLAP, it must be shown to be without merit. That is, not defamation. But I asked Randazza, isn't it possible that one person's SLAP is another person's legitimate defamation suit?
I can imagine this making people nervous, where they think, I don't want people to just be able to say whatever they want about me on the internet.
Well, that's the thing. They can't. I'm talking about cases when there is no actual defamation, when it's a frivolous lawsuit.
27 states have enacted some form of anti-SLAP law. Usually, a defendant can file an early motion claiming the suit is meritless and intended only to silence them. Then the plaintiff has to show that the suit has merit before it drags on year after expensive year. But the state's protections vary wildly. Recently, the makers of a product called Magic Jack sued the website Boing Boing. Boing Boing's managing editor, Rob Biskitza, says they were lucky the suit was filed in California, the state with the strongest anti-SLAP statute.
Of all the places in America they could have formulated a legal attack on us, that's the place where it's least likely to succeed.
Magic Jack, by the way, is a product that allows you to make phone calls using the internet. Biskitza wrote a short post criticizing Magic Jack's terms of service. the post was pretty routine. Magic Jack's reaction was anything but.
Usually, people who you criticize or make fun of on the internet, they will talk to you, they will open communication, but in this case, they just sued right out the blue.
We contacted Magic Jack and its legal team for a comment, but didn't hear back. Baskitza says Boing Boing's lawyers determined that Magic Jack was suing not to win a defamation case, but...
just to cause trouble for us, just to try to bully us into getting rid of the post right away. It was a perfect example of the Streisand effect, I think.
That's right, the Streisand effect, as in Barbara Streisand. That's the unintended consequence of publicizing some piece of information you were trying to quash. First Amendment attorney Mark Randazza.
Back in the 90s sometime, a guy published an aerial photograph of Barbara Streisand's house on his webpage. His webpage got maybe 400 hits. Then Barbara Streisand sent a nasty demand letter to him that he needed to take it down right away. So he posted the letter. And I think within a month after that, he had somewhere close to 450,000 hits. When plaintiffs decide to bring these claims, the one thing you can be certain of is that the number of people who heard the negative opinions will grow exponentially.
In the end, Magic Jack lost its case. Boing Boing invoked the California anti-slap statute and recouped a portion of its legal fees. Boing Boing's managing editor, Biskitza, says he was always confident they'd win, but he still worries about the broader impact of slaps.
It's like this horrible reminder that anyone with money and a lawyer can set out to silence you. And to defend yourself from that is unimaginably expensive. In any case, it wouldn't have been a problem because we have legal insurance. We have insurance to cover the costs of these kind of actions. We have that stuff available to us because we're an established company. We're an established blog. The most frustrating thing for us is to know that most people would have been easily intimidated by Magic Jack into silence. The reason these companies do this is because it works.
Last December, Congressman Steve Cohen introduced the first federal anti-slap bill. It's called the Citizen Participation Act. His office plans a public briefing on the legislation next week. For NPR News, I'm Nazanin Rafsanjani.
Our story was produced by WNYC's On the Media, where you can hear an extended version of this story.